welcome to the special edition of We the People, coming to you today from Mumbai. On the program today, we look at one of India's most beloved, most successful, and some would say most charmingly eccentric community. That's right, we're talking about India's Parsis. And while their success has often grabbed the headlines, what is also ringing alarm bell is the fact that this is a community that is now facing a very real danger of extinction. By the last count of the census, the numbers of Parsis in India are down to 69,000 or thereabouts. The government seems to have finally woken up to this clear and present danger and started a program just recently called Jio Parsi in an attempt to contain the dwindling numbers and try and save this precious community, part of India's culture and history, from near extinction. Also, of course, within the community, there are now voices of reform challenging the orthodoxy, challenging what some say are archaic traditions. In particular, several women are speaking up saying, why is it that if they marry outside the community, their children and even they themselves lose many of their rights? Their children, in fact, are not counted as Parsi if they marry outside the community. On the program today, the Parsis and the challenges they are facing from within and outside. I'd like to start today with somebody who has, in a sense, grabbed the headlines by taking her fight to the Supreme Court of India. Gulrukh Contractor was contractor, then married outside the community. That in itself was something that doesn't happen very often in your community, Gulrukh. And now you ended up marrying outside the community and you found that you may not get an opportunity to take part in the last rites of your parents. You lose several other economic and religious rights as well. And you've taken this fight all the way to the Supreme Court. Tell us a little bit about why this is so important to you and why you think this is not just about you, but why it's about your community.
First and foremost, our religion or customs are not uniform. We face a big problem of gender biased religion. Here, the men are allowed to do their last rites in the Tower of Silence. The children's Navjot can be performed. They can go to any of the Atash Bairam or Agyaris, wherever they like. And our women are still not allowed in certain parts of the country. In places like Delhi, Calcutta, Madras, the trustees have made their own opinions and they have allowed they've been liberal. But in places like smaller towns, the girls are still not allowed. That's when I felt that why not girls? And where I come from, a small town in Valsar, where till 2003, the trustees were very liberal. They never stopped any girl who was married to non-Parsis to enter the fire temple or the last rites of the parents, for which I'm fighting, because it was the most important. I think it's very inhuman to not let a girl child do or attend her last rites of her parents on the basis that she is married to a man of her own choice.
You've said that in some cases the panchayats have been lenient, and yes, but there is no uniformity.
Yes.
But overall, what has been the role of the panchayats? Are they encouraging these voices of reform or are they not?
Larger cities like Bombay, there they have allowed. But that is where I'm talking about no uniformity. Here it is gender bias.
Yeah.
It is city and state and the trustees who decide whether we are allowed or not. It is on their whims and fancies.
And the same rule clearly doesn't apply to the men.
To the men. I remember when in 2003, when my uncle passed away, I was married for a good 13 years. And I attended his funeral. I attended all 4 days in the Agyari in Valsar. And I was not stopped because there was liberality and there was a progressive trust.
Cyrus, here's the point that a lot of people may not understand. No, I know. Don't look so worried.
I know the lawyer for the defense, sir. Please.
No,
I was told that this was a program on men in their 40s turning into women. So I was far more comfortable with that topic, and now I come here.
Okay, why don't you talk a little bit about that first, and then we can get to the Parsi.
Well, that's why I wore short pants, to prove that I'm still male, but going down slowly, as you can see.
Jokes aside.
Yes.
My question is this. This is a community that, when we say it's facing extinction, this is not rhetoric. This is real. The numbers are down to 69,000 at last count.
it's declining at a rate of 12% per decade. I'm not Parsi, so I'm trying to understand this from the outside. What strikes us as peculiar is that the children of Gulrukh, let's say, if they wanted to be counted as Parsi, they would not be able to, because the moment she marries outside the community, she loses her identity as a Parsi woman, or she could. She potentially could lose her identity. Now, doesn't this make it, apart from the gender bias, isn't it odd that when you're looking at dwindling numbers, doesn't this also compound the problem?
As far as I know, this is a gender issue, which is not just about Parsis. Okay,
yeah.
This is about India in general.
All personal laws are against women.
Club
yeah.
memberships, you look at any communities. Most yeah. people out here are from the same community, both parents from the same subcaste. So that's not a Parsi issue as far as I'm concerned. That's symbolic of India, wherever you go.
Yeah.
And that's a gender issue which
Fair
has to
enough.
Be addressed in a much broader perspective.
Fair
so
enough.
Let's not target Parsis alone.
No, not targeting
like she's
at all.
Already pointed out,
yeah.
they've got different... there's no uniform code as of now.
Yeah.
There is a sort of in place, but there are different people who are a little more liberal, more flexible than those who aren't, just like in any other group or association. So what is right or wrong? I personally, as an egalitarian and democrat and a complete coward, would like to just sit on the fence and allow the grey beards and the young Parsis who are in charge of making decisions, hopefully, come to the party and in a civilized way, over hopefully in a quick period of time, because we're dwindling fast, come to an understanding where perhaps we will allow more
but
options.
But for somebody like yourself, who was it a big deal when you got married? Did you sort of think, oh, should I marry within the community? Should I marry outside
see,
the community?
There's a clear gender bias. It's a little unfair because I think for the males, you never really feel it.
Yeah.
And definitely, I have no idea what she must have gone through, to be honest. And also, the name remains Parsi. And so, you know, from childhood, the surname is Parsi. So, I think a whole different sort of experience for the husband being Parsi. But why didn't you marry a Parsi, Barka? You can increase the
Do you have a candidate?
I'm ready. I'm allowed to go two. I'm allowed to go two rounds. And now there's medication which can keep me going.
All right, I might actually take you up on that. So be careful what you promise. But Jimmy Mistry is somebody who represents the Bombay Parsi Panchayat. You're going to get a lot of tough questions today. Let me first ask you: what do you believe? What do you believe is the biggest challenge or the biggest vulnerability around the Parsis today, so much so that you now have a Government of India program that has launched itself, calling itself Geo-Parsi?
See, if you traditionally take Parsis as a community, what has been so different from the rest of the communities? The successful socio-religious organizations across, like the BAPS or the SEFIs, the Sayyadna can give a call, Pramukh Swami Maharaj can give a call, and on any and every issue, be it religious, be it social, be it economical.
Yeah.
In our case, there is no religious single leader who gives a call and pulls a community towards one direction.
Yeah.
And that's perhaps one of the reasons. Second reason is a very educated community. Each one has his own say and ways of looking at things.
Highest literacy rate, highest sex ratio, yet some would say resistant to change.
I wouldn't say resistant to change.
What do you mean by sex ratio?
Sorry.
Number of women per minute. I didn't mean the amount of sex. but I mean, you can talk about that also. If you want.
Another program, another time.
Another program, another day. Jimmy, go
Patrinality
on.
Has been in force for the last about 100 years. The Dawar and Beeman judgment was very clear.
Hmm.
And that time the judgment has been delivered by a bench. And it is very clearly stated that children of mixed marriages, they'll accept the children of the father into the fold of the community and not the other way around. That has been practiced for the last 100 years.
Does this make sense to you? That for 100 years, what has been happening should continue for the next 100 years?
The only reason why the community has survived through the last 1,200 years and 1,300 years is because of this unique nature of the community, of being within the fold of the entire community. If this was not the other way around, we would not have survived through these 1,200 years, being a minuscule small community that entered India at about 2,000 in numbers. Let's compare it to 20,000 liters tanker of petrol, and you're putting Parsis, which is not even one drop, in the ratio to the worldwide population. Now, people like Gulrukh, with all due respect, are saying that mix it up together and it's all fine. You'll still be able
to
identify
the
water.
The men mix it up.
That's what has been followed, and it still continues because Parsis continue in the same manner.
Come in quickly and then I want to go on to the others.
I have a point here that we're talking about mixing. When a girl gets married to a boy of different community, who raises the children, the mother or the father?
I would hope both.
Mostly it is the mother's culture which goes to the child. And if there are wrong customs, we can't continue another 100 years saying, okay.
So you're saying a 100-year tradition cannot continue for another 100 years. Let me get Mahabanu Modi Kotwal in now. Does this make sense to you what Jimmy is saying?
First of all, I don't know why I'm here. I'm totally irreligious. And my supporting this absurd thing about women's children not, is totally against my work. I mean, for over a decade, I've worked for women's empowerment, for women's liberation, and I don't see why these regressive, frankly, racist and fascist ideas are becoming so strong now. Because the minute you tell somebody that you have married outside, you're not just demeaning that person, you're demeaning the other community also. And I'm totally against that.
And you say you're irreligious, but sometimes people can be irreligious, but their cultural moorings can still be located within the influences that they've been shaped by.
The minute you draw limitations and you have boundaries to your thinking, I think that's where we are going wrong. You know, you're a Hindu, I'm a Parsi, you're a Punjabi, you're a Christian, you're a... These limitations, unless they go, we can never progress.
You're not worried that Parsi's numbers are down to 69,000?
No, I'm not at all. I'm not at all worried. Because they brought it upon themselves.
Jimmy Mistry, take that on before I take that to the others, that your ideas are regressive. You actually have Mavano here saying that it's because of these ideas that there is this vulnerability today.
The ethnicity of Parsis has to be retained, and the only way to do it, it's not being a progressive community, we've evaluated various ifs and buts and situations, and the only way Parsis can continue is if we continue this particular trait. The minute we budge from here, we'll be gone, perished and finished off.
Gulrukh's children grew up as Parsi. How would that endanger the Parsi community? I'm trying to understand this.
Rituals-wise, customs-wise, tradition-wise, there's a lot more that goes into it than just a half an hour show.
No, sure. I'm not questioning the complexity. I'm saying again and again that almost every set of traditions is tilted against women. But Mahabana, you wanted to come in there.
Frankly, a lot of our rituals are taken from the Hindus.
Right.
They are taken from the Hindus. So there is no question of rituals in Persia. In our religion, we never used to put the tikka. We never had a garland. There was nothing like that. There was no sandalwood over there. And I think what we are doing is we are going towards the wrong issues. There are so many other issues. The Parsi Panchayat, frankly, I think, is in charge of the funds. I don't think they have any right to talk about our religious preferences or our religious issues. And I think that there should have been a priest on this panel. There being no priest over here.
Are you a priest?
Yes.
Okay, we'll just bring you in on what you think. But go ahead, complete your point.
And a lot of us, we don't even understand what we're... To us, culture is about eating dhansak every Sunday.
That's being very cynical. Rosa, share your own experience of how life changed for you after you married. You've given interviews saying how deeply, unlike Mahabano, who says, I'm irreligious, none of this matters to me, you have actually said that, look, this is really part of who I am. This is what defines me. So how did it change for you after marriage?
The Zoroastrian religion absolutely defines me. I'm a very devout Parsi. But at the same time, I appreciate that I'm an Indian. I appreciate that we live in a country which has given us so much of freedom to think. At a point when Rajesh and I got married, it was a dilemma for me because in one sense, I felt I was giving up on my community. I was being a traitor to my community.
So you felt nervous about marrying outside the community?
I did. Because I felt that perhaps my children would have a bias against them. Perhaps they won't enjoy the forward thinking, the culture that we so much enjoyed as a part of my growing up. Today, I am at peace with the fact that my children cannot be Parsis. I've accepted it because I have no other recourse.
When you say when you say that you're at peace with it, it sounds more to me like you're resigned to it.
I am resigned to it.
Do you feel bad?
I did feel bad up to a point, but now I live with it. I've not opposed the idea as others have, because in a true sense, we are very secular at home. So in a sense, it has not bothered me. We are as Christian as we are Parsi as we are Hindu.
That's as it should be. I can't imagine any disagreement with that. And yet, there is this whole sense of where you keep tradition alive. Where do you find that balance in keeping tradition, uniqueness alive, but also changing with the times? Zenobia, that's something that you're trying to do with the Jio Parsi program. You're a director with that program. How does the government or groups like yourself actually plan to address the dwindling numbers?
Yes, what happened was about 4 years back, we were really trying to find out what is the real cause of this declining population in our community.
Yeah.
We went back to several studies. We realized that the fall in the population, the fall in numbers in the population,
is got several reasons. But out of these reasons, the main reason is that there is a decline in the fertility. And this is not, mind you, biological fertility. The real problem lies in that our girls and boys, they marry at a late age. Most of them don't end up marrying. 1 out of 9 Parsi boys or girls don't end up marrying with difficulty, that too. They want the best of everything.
So late marriages is one of the main reasons.
Because they feel that everything should be settled before marriage. All essential luxury should be there. Then only we'll get married.
But is that so wrong?
We don't want to be servants to the husband or the wife.
But is that so wrong?
That is what girls are saying nowadays.
But is that... I mean, wouldn't you say that as a...
I at least didn't follow this. I got married very early. I got married at the age of 24. And I had a child at the age of 25.
Would you get your daughter married at the same age?
Yeah, this year in December, my daughter is getting married at the same age.
At 24? Is the solution that girls should be getting married younger? I mean, Cyrus...
I'm glad you're looking at me as a social scientist who's going to solve this problem.
I'm looking at you because you're wanting to say something there on
No, I want to just put me down for 2 non-veg for the December wedding, that's all. Tanash?
What age did you get married at, Cyrus?
Oh God, so long ago.
Young marriage.
Around Mangal Pandey's this thing.
but this is an interesting thought. Firoza, you want to come in, then I want to hear from the priest. And also, I believe somebody here runs you run a matrimonial website, is that correct?
Website. We run a matrimonial bureau, and that was actually being run by the trust to which I belong.
So I'm just going to talk to you about that, but Firoza, go ahead. Yeah.
I'm an infertility specialist at Jaslok Hospital, and the unique observation is that couples come forward for treatment for having a baby when the woman's average age is about 38.
But that is probably true for women across communities, Firoza. I mean,
really.
Women today want to make their careers. They want to look for the right partner.
Urban India we're talking about.
Urban India, yeah of course. I'm talking about a minority, a privileged minority, of course, yeah.
The average age a woman comes across for an infertility issue, a non-Parsi, is about 34. Usually, Parsis come forward when the woman is 38.
But is part of the problem the pressure to find someone within the same community?
Absolutely. Even after finding somebody, they would wait for a while till they're settled down in the career, till they have a proper house, before they have a car, before they have everything, and then plan a baby.
And then I want to hear from
you. Also, I think housing is a big problem, and that is what the Bombay Parsi Panchayat should be addressing.
We look at that, but let's just hear from you. I believe you recently got married, is that correct?
Yes, that's right.
And how old were you, if I may ask, when you got married?
32.
And you're a priest?
Yes.
And did you wait till you found somebody right within the same community?
Yes, that's right, because it was ingrained in me at an early age. And the second thing is that, you know, I have this one argument to make to everybody who says that, you know, we're not allowing the girls married outside and just the boys. Yeah. You know, the thing is that this was, like Jimmy said, started 100 years back. It's still in my belief system. It's my belief that it's not right. Okay. It's like that. It is a wrong which was committed. Okay, and it has been continuing. And now we have the women who want to come in and say that, you know, we also want the same rights. We have got nothing against women. There are priests you will find today whom we designate as renegade priests who perform all the ceremonies for Gulrukh. Gulrukh will be probably aware of
And
that.
You call them renegades?
Yes, because they don't follow our belief system.
Sorry, you're saying what?
There's a fatwa against them also.
I'll tell you one thing, madam.
Why do you call them renegade priests?
Because
you don't think they're real priests?
No, because they do not follow the tenets of our religion. I mean, if tomorrow as a reporter, okay, if you don't follow the journalistic guidelines or the norms that a reporter...
But you know, once upon a time there were guidelines that women couldn't go and cover a war. Once upon a time there were guidelines that women didn't cover politics. Once upon a time there were guidelines that women were not editors.
It's not about women. This is not a gender bias against women. It is basically per se that if the community has to survive and not become half Parsis, 1/4 Parsis, 1/8 Parsis, 1/16 Parsis, we have to not intermarry. Today 33%.
Then why do you let the men intermarry?
No. We are not.
You're not in favor of men intermarrying.
A large part of the community still isn't in favor of the men intermarrying either.
Can I ask you a question? How long would you have waited to find someone within the community?
Till I was 35. I'll give you a personal example. My father got married probably when he was 45, 46. Okay, and my mother had me when I was 40. I'm still here, right?
When she was
40. Yeah, when she was 40. Yeah. So I'm still here sitting in front of you.
So you're saying neither men nor women should ideally marry outside the community to keep the community alive.
Because at the end of the day, you don't want a 1/16th Parsi sitting with you and talking to you who doesn't know anything about his religion.
So is Cyrus a 1/16th Parsi, a 50% Parsi?
Cyrus is a full Parsi because both his parents are Parsi.
I'm a full Parsi. I'm a full Parsi because both my parents are Parsi.
Yes, we don't dispute the fact. You know that you have priests. Who will perform ceremonies for you.
But I have never asked for my children to be Parsis. I have only asked for my rights.
Your rights?
My case is only in Supreme Court, but my rights, that I should be allowed to perform the last rites of my parents.
Ma'am, I'll just put it like this. When you got married outside, you fully knew what decision, what step you are taking.
Yes, but till 2003, our trustees and our panchayats had no objection. I was married for a good 13 years.
No, but are you saying if somebody falls in love with somebody who's not Parsi, they should not marry them?
Ideally, no. But if they marry, then it is their personal.
Okay, let's get Jimmy in now, okay, and then I want to go to Kamal and Shireen.
I just want to put some perspective to this.
Yeah.
This whole issue about Parsis are a sect. The religion is Zoroastrianism.
Yes.
Anybody and everybody can become a Zoroastrian. So what are we arguing about? If she wants her children to follow Zoroastrianism, there is nobody to stop her from doing it.
You're saying it's not restrictive.
Anybody can follow the Zoroastrian religion.
But you're hearing Firuza sitting there saying, I knew my children could not embrace
become
my
Parsis,
religion.
Become Parsis.
Yeah. Firuza, when you say your children can't be Parsi, what do you mean?
My daughter still knows prayers. She can still recite the Parsi prayers. But she cannot go to a fire temple and say them. She's never seen the inside of the most sacred thing for the Parsi. And I feel for her. I feel for my children.
It does sound painful. And Kamal, if I can get you in, as somebody who own and you're entrepreneurs, you run very successful cafes in the city. Has the community moved with the time?
No.
Not at all.
So when you hear the priest here, when you hear Jimmy there, what would you say to them?
My personal experience,
yes.
I have a daughter who was to be married. Elder one is already married to
I think
Parsi.
Your daughter's sitting right behind me, so I'm going to go right to her. But go ahead, Kamal, say what you say.
I was also of the opinion that I should have a Parsi son-in-law, as far as possible.
You also did want a Parsi son-in-law.
I did feel
And that's true for all communities across India. They tend to try and look within the community.
I decided to marry a Sindhi now. And the first thing I told her is, be careful, you may not be able to attend my funeral rites.
You actually said that to her? You actually said that to her?
I told
her. Separate bank accounts.
I told her.
Once again, let's just hear from your daughter also. Kainaz, your mom said, don't do this.
No, she, you know what, honestly, I'm actually blessed to have quite forward-thinking parents. They didn't say, don't do this, because I know that at the end of the day, all they wanted was my happiness. They said, it will be easier for you to integrate into the, you know, into the life of a married woman if you married a Parsi, because you're aware of the culture.
But did you think that if I have kids, they may not be able to, you know, be considered Parsi?
Well,
my rights may go away. I may not be able to go to the fire temple. I may lose my economic rights. I may lose my religious rights. Are you correcting me on that, Jimmy?
Yeah, the rights don't go away. Legally speaking, if you've done a court-registered marriage, the rights don't go away for the woman, not her children. Only if she's converted herself to Islam or she's converted herself to a Hindu and then got married, then the whole
but
equation
Gulru
is different.
But Gulru got married under the Special Marriage Act, never converted, but she didn't get those rights.
She still continues if she's got married under the
I've
the
got
court.
Under married a Special Marriage Act, 1st February 19, without any conversion.
Right. So then,
but still, till 2003, the forward-thinking Parsis allowed me and girls like me. But after 2003, the new trustees which came, who were Orthodox trustees, they stopped all the girls from entering the fire temple. Not only that, the last rites of the parents, which is very, very inhuman.
Okay, let's just hear from Kainaz.
Go ahead.
So did you worry about the consequences?
Well, it did cross my mind, but, you know, then I read about Gulruk, and that gave me, you know, a breath of fresh air. And then I will, it kind of opened my mind and said, look, if they are hardliners in the community, they're also people fighting for us. And they're also people that have common sense, no offense, man. You know, and I don't think...
What would you say to our priest here?
I would say move with the times and grow up.
I'll just put it to her this way. You have a belief system. You are marrying the one you love. Happiness to you. Okay?
Thank you.
You have a belief system. We all have our individual belief systems. If you are trying to impose your belief system on me,
not at all.
Then it's not fair.
I'm not trying to impose.
It's not the other way around. Because she decided to get married outside. It's for boys and girls. It's not just against girls. Please understand this.
Fair enough.
So boys and girls, you were a part of the belief system, you know, which I was a part of. I still am. No, you're not. Because my belief system conflicts with yours. I'm not saying that don't do it. I mean, as a community, we are not so illiberal that, you know, we are stopping you or there is, you know, a fatwa out against you. It's not that. You know which well you're jumping into.
Okay, let us speak now. I'm very well aware of what I'm about to do. However, I have to say that if you... by the mere fact that you say that women, once they move out of the community, once they marry outside the community, they're not allowed in a Parsi temple. I don't go to a fire temple every day, but if I want to, I will. Even after marriage, I will do it.
Okay, let's just let Kamal complete her point and then we'll go to Shireen. Yes. So how much did this concern you and how much did you try and change her mind?
I didn't try to change her mind because, as I said, I made a genuine, very full-hearted effort to get her a Parsi mate. But somehow it just didn't work out. Reason
and
being
some
that
of the Parsi boys I dated were quite questionable. There were even people who wanted my Dhansak recipe.
There were people who wanted your Dhansak recipe.
Just kidding. You know.
That's a deal breaker.
No, but the founding, all jokes aside, the founding principles of our religion are good thoughts, good words, good deeds.
Absolutely.
And I don't think that anywhere in those founding principles does it say or does it imply that if you choose to marry someone who is not born a Parsi, that makes you any less a Parsi.
Absolutely. All right, let's get Shireen in. I've got to agree with you, but I'm not on the side of the priest in this one. We'll come back to you. Shireen, you're associated with the Return to Roots program. What does Return to Roots mean in these times when there's so many other influences? There are other influences within India, there's globalization, there's Cyrus, there's so many other influences.
So I think, you know, the panel today has just reconfirmed that why this program is so important. There are two points that I would like to bring to the fore. One is Zoroastrianism 101, okay? Yeah. Zoroastrianism is a religion. Parsis and Iranis are a race, okay? My question to all of y'all is, why don't we question some things like, why is the Archbishop only a man? Why is he not a woman?
We do question.
Why is the Ayatollah? Okay, we question.
We do question, yeah.
But does the whole community... I think we are playing here with numbers. We are still a small community, which is why I think the issues seem to...
Get magnified.
Okay. Second, I think is, I feel there's a lot of information, but there's a lot of misinformation as well. As a young person, my access to Zoroastrian scholarship or Zoroastrian theology is very limited.
You believe that Parsis are incels being picked upon because they're small in number. So can I reverse the question and just say to you, are you worried about the dwindling numbers?
I am worried about the dwindling numbers, but the solution is not in terms of because the girl married outside and she wasn't accepted, which is why the numbers are dwindling. That is not the reason why the numbers are dwindling.
So you would agree with him that marriages should be within the community?
Marriages should be within the community. And to talk about, you know, Zoroastrianism is a very old religion. We are trying to accept it in the terms of, you know, the new age terms of gender equality, what it means to be secular. These perceptions, these ideas didn't exist 3,000 years ago. And at that point of time, it made complete sense. Yes, now somebody...
Okay, I'm going to let Mahabhanu come in and then I'm going to take questions.
No, I just have a question here. Because I was told as I was growing up that Zoroastrianism was the one religion that gave equal importance to the man and to the woman. I believe that they will never die out because the Zoroastrians of North America, Australia, England, they are all embracing the forward ideas, they are moving with the times, and they are thriving. They are thriving. It's over here where we are bogged down by this
I differ.
Yes.
Okay, there are two sects in almost each of these places that she mentioned in North America. Each of the associations have got two sects, the Orthodox and the Liberals. This discussion continues as much in London, as much in Auckland, as much in Bombay.
Dastoors do the weddings and the Navjots there, and they are not segregated against.
The renegade Dastoors.
They don't.
No, can I read out this little paragraph written by the Dastoorji Khurshed Kekobar, the high priest of Iran Shah, who is supposed to be like a pope of our of our community, right? Now, he writes over here, our religion is based on gender equality, and if a Parsi, Irani girl or a boy chooses to marry outside our faith and does so by the way of civil ceremony, he or she has, according to me, every right to continue to attend the Agyari or Atashbehram of their choosing.
Yeah.
At the same time, he also writes, this is not my views. These views were in 1968 suggested by Dastoorji Debu, who was a huge scholar of Parsi Zoroastrian religion.
Okay, so we're talking about Jimmy, you accept that this debate continues across the world?
Absolutely, the debate continues and we accept what has been written over here, 100%.
Okay, but Shireen, let me just take one sentence, I want to take questions here.
Yeah. I think gender equality is more about, more than just about marrying within the religion or being accepted. Economic equality, hands on, we are there. Social equality, hands on, we are there. Eschatological equality, even after you die, when your soul is, you know, at the crossroads and is crossing over to the Chinward pool, there is no distinction.
Let's start taking some questions here. You said you ran a matrimonial bureau. So what does this bureau do?
Well, initially, when we started, we used to have give out notices, get them to fill in forms. We don't charge anything, but the basic concept is to give the youth, our youth, an opportunity to come in contact with one another, to intermingle and take it from there.
But you only encourage matches within the community.
That is the idea of the matrimonial bureau. I'm
just asking if I had a chance.
I'm sorry, I would not be able to help you. I'll be very frank.
Renegade, there's a renegade matrimonial site also coming up.
I'm signing up for a renegade matrimonial site. Okay, go ahead.
I completely agree with Shireen and Jimmy. While my sympathies are with Gulrukh, quite understand when Mahabanu says because she's not so religious. It is one of the basic tenets of our religion that you marry within the community. And this, for some of us, holds good for the men also. Now, having said that, I do not think that dwindling population, 100%. There is no, you can't close your eyes to the fact. But I 100% do not think that the answer to our diminishing numbers lies in marrying outside the faith.
Can I get you in, Cyrus? Because you said for men it's not such a big deal. But a lot of voices here
I'm telling you practically what men experience. Men who marry out don't seem to have the problem that Gulrukh has.
Did it ever cross your mind?
We are very unreligious. And honestly, I'm Jisko Jaisa. Whatever they say, I'll accept it. And Parsi, non-Parsi, really doesn't matter beyond a point. Because like they said, it's all about the principles. You're brought up in a certain way. You follow the principles. The rest is just ritual and, you know, things that you do or don't do. So, but for some people who are more emotionally attached, I can understand how bad they feel. And to be denied the right to be with your parents in their last, that's just not right.
Let me just get somebody here who actually is the child of an intercommunity marriage. What is the perspective of a child? So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, so my mom is a Gujarati and my dad is a Parsi, but
your dad is a Parsi, which means you do still get to be a Parsi, right?
I haven't seen an Agyari from the inside. I've just seen it from the outside. I've never been inside. My mom was never allowed to go in for, my father's younger brother's marriage. So she wasn't allowed to get into the Agyari. So a place which is so, nobody is welcoming you, who will get in? So I follow whatever my mom taught me. I'm a Hindu. I know everything. I know my Ganpati prayers, everything. I have read about the Zoroastrian religion 2 years back.
But what does your dad say to you?
My dad, he himself, a community which is not accepting someone. Thing is, I've seen a church, I have seen a mosque, like a darga, I have seen a temple.
But you haven't been inside the Agyari.
So that is something which I was curious about some years back, 2-3 years back. I used to tell my father, I want to come with you. He's like, if you're not allowed, you don't look like a Parsi. Some will question you, 10,000 questions, the Dastoor will ask you. Who wants to answer that?
Let's get the priest to answer that. I mean, she's the daughter of a Parsi father, and she says she doesn't feel welcome in the Agyari.
Before you go into an Agyari, every Parsi is supposed to perform a ritual known as the kasti, and her navjot is not done. So,
Kainaz, go ahead.
That we take young children into the agyari, they've not had their navjot, they don't know how to do the kasti, they don't even know their prayers. Does that make them a less of a Parsi?
They're not, see, they are not initiated into any faith. And I'll tell you one more thing, okay? A few years back, and this is public knowledge, okay, that a section of the intermarried Parsis have an organization, you must be aware of that, okay? They started a separate fire temple for themselves. They have a priest, okay, who caters to them. They have a priest who will probably come and do an Arshivad ceremony on your marriage, which is, by the way, not a complete Arshivad ceremony, which we...
And you'd call them renegades.
We call them renegades because they have a different belief. We do not share the belief system. So you are most welcome to go there.
Okay. Let's move on. We can get locked into this debate forever. Cyrus, you're making a point.
I have an academic question.
Yes.
Where exactly in our Gathas or Avastha has Zoroaster said that you cannot marry outside? Because his own son-in-law was, I believe, converted to Zoroastrianism.
Zenobia wants to answer that. Zenobia. Yeah.
There's something which has been taught, you know, to us, that is from the Vandi dads. You know, Auramazda, when he spoke to Lord Zarathustra, he said that it is better that whenever a Parsi man or a woman marries a Parsi man or a woman.
Now that you're associated with the Geo-Parsi program,
yes,
and the whole purpose of the program is how to address these dwindling numbers.
Yes, correct.
Is the only answer to say women should marry early?
No.
Because the number of women may not want to marry early or at all.
If there's a late marriage and a late conception...
Of course, Shireen, it happens in other communities, and I think it's true for all communities. But there is an official program launched with the express purpose of trying to prevent the community from future extinction. So I'm just saying, what's the answer to that?
The average age at which a Parsi woman marries is 27. The average age at which a Parsi man marries is 31. And that's why the earlier the marriage, the earlier the children, and definitely you can plan to have more children also then.
Okay. Most, Cyrus and Jimmy. Jimmy, you
most
go
Parsi
first.
Families have only one child. That's another second problem. Apart from late marriages, they do not believe in having a second child, and a third child is practically out of the question. Most families don't.
Okay.
So that's the second answer lies in making sure that every single family has minimum of two children, if not more, and ideally promoting the third child scheme.
Excuse me?
Yes.
When my case was going on in Gujarat High Court, and that is when both the parties tried their level best to find out whether in our Vandi Dads or anywhere such things were written. The judges came to a very clear conclusion that none of the scriptures have said that the Parsi girl or a boy marrying outside should not be allowed.
You have Gulrukh's daughter here who was not able to, obviously, you were not able to grow up Parsi, even though your mom feels that she's Parsi. What's been your experience growing up with all of this?
See, just because I'm not accepted in the religion does not mean I don't follow it. Like, I don't follow it completely, but we go to my Nanani's house for pateti. In my house in the temple, we have all our Hindu gods' pictures and my mom's Parsi gods' pictures together. My parents, my dad prays to them as well, who's a Hindu. So it's not that way, but... Like, and when I was a kid, like she said, like, they take kids. I went to the fire temple as a kid many times. Now I don't go. But as a kid, I went many times.
So does it make you angry that there are these restrictions?
No, frankly, like, why bother? Like, it's not that big a deal.
Not that big a deal. All right, you had a question.
Ma'am, with regard to the second child and the third child, once the child is born, the child has... Parsis always believe in quality. So the quality of education needs to be given, the quality of lifestyle. Being a 70,000 community anywhere in Maharashtra, we don't have any quotas in any college.
Would you want them? Would you need them?
If there are students who are much better, who are Zoroastrian students who are much better, in spite of being a minority and other minorities are getting the quota, I don't see any reason why we should not.
Jimmy, do you want to come in there? And Cyrus, you also. In a sense, this has not been a community that has been treated with the same kind of politics or political debates that have surrounded other minorities.
The sad part is I still think that it's symbolic of the entire country, the religious problems that are seen in the Parsi community. And I hope the media stops highlighting it all the time, because it will be settled, hopefully, amongst the Parsis through the liberal and the right wing, if you want to call them that. So that's one part of it. And I'm a little worried about this, going to the Agari or not, because when I was young, my beagle used to come to the Agari with us, Figaro, to be honest.
Really?
It was a far more liberal time, I think. There didn't seem to be so many issues. It seems to have got a little bad in the last 5 years, But again, these are things that can be argued over a table between people and come to some sort of understanding, because as far as I can see, and I don't want to be communal, but the Parsis are the most forward-thinking people you'll ever find.
I agree.
And this is like a paradox that we don't seem to get this part right.
And
so
I think that
I have great hope.
And you have great hope that people can just sit amongst themselves.
I think they will. They will come to a practical idea. But, you know, at the same time, you must understand tradition is important for people. Otherwise,
sure,
you have nothing. So
we have to focus on many important issues within our community. There are several other issues. If we have
Do you agree with the young boy there that the Parsis need to be given a kind of minority representation?
Yes, definitely. Because I know in the medical also, BJ Medical College, JJ Medical College, we don't have seats. These are all Parsi colleges at one point of time, before they became government colleges. Today, we don't have a single seat. Firoza will agree with
Firoza?
I would differ from you. Parsis are forward, they are original, they're intelligent. I don't think we need seats.
Let's put that to the audience here, which is predominantly Parsi. Do you believe that the Parsis also need affirmative action?
No.
Raise your hand if you agree. And once again, you did agree. Raise your hand if you agree. I'm not seeing a single maybe kind of hand going up there. Not really. So this is interesting. Nobody here wants to be patronized, cajoled, mollycoddled.
We fend for ourselves. We are intelligent. We consider ourselves forward-thinking. We don't need to be considered minorities in that sense.
Okay. I think that settles that. Let's take a quick question.
We say our religion is good thought, good words, and good deeds. I think that is most important. I know many people who have gone for Agyaris and who are married to outcasts, and they go for the in Dungarwadi also. In Iran also, other people can go in the Agyari. It's over here because when we came here and King Rana, we had told him that we'll mix with you, with sugar and milk. So that is why we are not allowing people to come in our religion. Otherwise, it's no problem. All are human beings. He should be a good human being.
Anybody wanting to come in?
Ask you something. I'm not a Parsi, but I just want to know one thing. When somebody goes to a temple or an Agyari, is there a, like, do you check them on the gate asking, are you from a mother who's a Parsi or from a father who's... I'm curious because I'm not a Parsi.
Shireen, do you want to take that?
No, I mean, nobody asks you, but there is a little
ritual that wearing do. Something, yeah, and it won't be like, you know.
I know so many Parsis who don't look like Parsis.
I was just going
to
say that.
So, are they Parsis? No.
Okay, once again, Shireen.
When I'm entering such a religious and, you know, the place of sanctity like that, I would want to, you know, respect the place for what it stands. And if I'm a non-Parsi, I will, in fact, first think about entering a place like that.
All right, I've got to take a break. When we come back, final comments from our panel. If it is that this is a community that can sit down at a table and solve their own tussle between the orthodoxy and the voices of reform, what should the Geo-Parsi program be looking at? What are the specifics? Final comments and some questions from the audience coming up in just a couple of minutes. The real danger of extinction that India's Parsis as a community face. The government has now launched a Geo-Parsi program to contain the dwindling numbers. Before we take final comments from our panel, let's hear from the audience. This young man here runs, among other things, a speed dating program for young Parsis. Did I get that right?
Okay, it's a bit of misinterpretation there. I'm part of a committee that runs the Zoroastrian youth for the next generation. It's called Zing.
It's called Zing.
Zing.
Like Gold Spot, the Zing thing.
ZYNG, yes. We're actually the youth group of the Bombay Parsi Panchayat. As the biggest problem, people said, you know, Parsis marry late. But one thing people always keep focusing on is the Panchayat. And they say, you know, they control a lot and they get involved in religious matters. What people don't in Bombay realize that 55% of the Parsis live outside colonies. They're not all considered in the colony. So how do you get a Parsi boy who studied in a cosmopolitan colony or building meet a girl from a colony?
Mahabano, what would you say to that?
That's his particular, his personal choice.
So let me reverse the question to you. Do we all really want to grow up children of malls? I say that, I don't mean M-O-L-L-S, but I mean M-A-L-L-S, I should clarify. What I mean by that is, do we all want this flattened, homogenized culture? Isn't there some merit to what he's saying, Mahabano, that people do want to keep individual cultural traditions alive for the richness of our social tapestry?
Yes, but not at the cost of the personal freedom and the personal choice of other people. Not at that cost.
Not at that cost. All right, let's just take a question here.
No, it's not a question. It's just a statement.
Yes.
Late marriages, as she rightly said, what is the reason? I know of so many young girls, beautiful girls, wanting to get married, but they are not getting the right spouse because our boys are not that progressive.
Absolutely.
Let me tell you that also.
100%.
So boys should come forward.
That's true for all communities. That's why I can't.
Indian males suck.
But go ahead. Complete your point. Yeah.
Anyway, so, and regarding this minority status, I fully endorse what one of them said. I'm an educationist. I know my students getting less percentage sometimes. They cannot go to the right college, although they're very, very bright students. I see some of my students here, seated here, and they're really good, but they are unable to go because we don't have minority status in colleges.
Okay, but I did see that overwhelming number of people weren't in favor of it either. You are in favor of it?
I am in favor because I think...
And Jimmy's in favor of it.
And the people over here, you have not hit the right demographics. I kid you not, and people will not believe this, but one of the biggest problems the Parsi religion today faces is poverty.
Our religion has a lot of gender equality. It is the Indian law in 1909 that was stated that when somebody marries, they have to take the father's religion. The child takes the father's religion. The wife takes the husband's religion. And
not necessarily. That's actually what Gulrukh's case is going to decide.
Special Marriage Act 1954. It says that when the marriage is solemnized between two people, they are given the right to practice, profess their own religion, identity, and sentiments.
That is correct. Regarding the children, according to the Zoroastrian faith, the father and the mother both have to belong to the faith for the child to be a Zoroastrian.
But you know, so many men marry outside their faith. We never see the same amount of noise made about that.
No, that is because... To be a Parsi.
Sorry.
To be a Zoroastrian or to be a Parsi?
Are two different things. Are two different things.
To be a Parsi you're talking about, not to be a Zoroastrian.
Okay, fair enough. Now here we have Ruby and Ruby's husband, Iqbal. Now this is an example of an inter-community marriage. And let's hear from them what it's been like. Ruby?
When I got married at the age of 26, that time I was just in love with my husband, and I did not think of religion.
Sorry, Cyrus, you're saying not anymore.
She's saying, at that time I was in love. I'm just checking.
I'm still in love with him, and I did not at all think about the religion or what would happen or what the society would say. What I wanted was that I wanted to get married to Iqbal, and that's all. And my father was like very much in pain. He cried. He did not want me to marry him. He tried to convince me that it's going to be very difficult to marry a non-Parsi. The culture is different. You will not be able to settle in his family. Somehow I'm very well settled in the family.
So, but you did have to fight with your father. Kamal, does this have some resonance with you? I mean, I know Kairaz has said you didn't really give her a tough time, but did you worry?
I did not. No.
No?
Now, having met my future son-in-law, I'm very happy.
Mm-hmm. What do you feel you missed out on as a Parsi because you married outside the community?
I missed out the entire religion. I mean, I really want to... I am for the religion completely. But as far as possible, I do whatever I can at my residence because I'm more comfortable in my own house to do whatever I could do.
Let's just hear from Iqbal a little bit. Did you understand the weight of, in a sense, what you were taking on and her rebellion?
Yes, definitely. I knew I was doing what I was doing. And we did thought about it. We will be facing problem. And we will have to elope, then be accepted first.
And you didn't say you still love her?
Huh? That's not thing to say about
it. No, no.
Tomorrow, if my son has to marry anyone, I still feel, if I get a Parsi daughter-in-law, it would be nice. But finally, I leave it up to him.
You still long for a Parsi daughter-in-law, right?
Okay. I do.
Okay.
She did not face the problem with Maruk is facing. She's very free to go to...
Gulrukh
is facing. All right. You're...
On one side, a lot of Parsis here are talking about, we talk good, the sweetness they're talking about. So why isn't that falling into when Gulrukh ma'am, like them, they're going out and fighting the case?
I've got a huge support. Like when we asked for support from people Parsis. From Parsis, Adi Godrej, Jamshed Godrej, Anu Aga, Cyrus Gazdar, all of them came forward and they gave me affidavits. They've become interveners in my case. They're supporting my cause.
Okay, let's take a question. I have a question for the priest. When he was talking to her, like your daughter, he said that it's about the beliefs. But prior to that, he said that his parents indulged him the beliefs. So if it's not about indulging or imposing...
It's inculcating.
You use the word indulging. That's why I'm sorry.
Okay. We'll just get you a mic so you can answer that. Yeah.
You have a value system which your parents have given you. You follow that value system. Tomorrow, 10, 15 years down the line, you want to have a value system of your own as a person, as an individual. Here, we are not talking about individual people. We are trying to talk about a community.
As Cyrus said, this is a debate for inside the community. I have to start winding up now. We'll take a question here.
We are born in a religion which God has given, and we have to follow the religion in which we have been allocated.
Okay, so follow it as you have learnt it. So I have to start taking last comments. I want to ask all of you, what's the one biggest challenge before the community? Come on, let me start with you.
Dying community and the fact that we should give priority to children of Parsi mothers and non-Parsi spouses.
Inter-community.
Inter-community.
I feel that unless we move on, no matter how many discussions we have, it's not going to solve anything. We have to move on.
Change with the time.
Absolutely.
Zenobia.
We have to consider several other issues, like the Geoparsi scheme has considered, that we will focus on infertility and to reverse this scenario.
I think 30 years back, even men were not allowed in fire temples when they were married to non-Parsis. They brought in that reform, seeing that the fire temples will be empty very soon. So they have accepted the men now.
Absolutely.
20 years from now, when there will have been no Parsis left, they will accept ourselves.
Shireen?
We must try to understand and acknowledge what it is that constitutes us being Zoroastrians and us being part of the Parsi race. As long as we can do that, I think there's a lot to look forward to.
Okay, Piroza.
The reproductive health of Parsi women and Parsi couples is very important for me. I wish more and more couples would come forward at an earlier age and have children. Perhaps that could contribute to this problem.
Inculcate a sense of Parsipano within our children and within our fold and make it almost a compulsion to have minimum of two children, if not more.
Compulsion?
That's the only way the community survives.
You
don't. I mean, it's a question of again, your value system and belief. If you think you owe it to the community,
it's a reverse Sanjay Gandhi strategy.
It's a reverse Sanjay Gandhi strategy.
And remember, he was half Parsi, a quarter, wasn't he?
Yeah.
There you go.
You think it can work, Cyrus? Last word.
It works on me. I would like to quote the famous Parsi poet Alfred Lord Tennyson, who said, "The old order changeth, yielding place to the new, and God fulfills himself in many ways." And this line especially, "Lest one good custom should corrupt the world." I personally feel customs will change. Things will, as we move along, we'll find places, grey areas where everybody will be comfortable. And hopefully the Parsi community will set standards as they always have without blowing on trumpets.
All right, we'll end on that note. I think, Cyrus, you said it all for us. I think people are also interested, not just because they want to amplify what seems to be prejudicial in the community, Shireen, but because I think Parsis are just so loved. I think there's a lot of interest in the community also because it's so beloved, it's so unique, it's so precious, and nobody would want to see this community dying. Thank you very much, everybody. The community will continue the debate, but we'll have to end it. Thank you.